Don't tell my wife, but I've been over gaming devices that only go one way for a long time. I need something that swings both ways. And that is where the 1X Sugar comes in. This thing is, wow, for something that has so many hinges, it feels kind of unhinged, does it not? It's got two screens, a wide variety of different configurations, and a performance story that is, at best, complicated. Before we get into that, though, let's take a look at the accessories. You get one cable and one power brick. It's a neat one with cute little fold-out prongs, though. Okay, let's put that aside and talk about the modes. This is mode one, single screen horizontal gaming. And I haven't even touched on all the modularity that's at play here. Whoa, look at that! It's a magnetic D-pad that sits on top of what otherwise could easily be ABXY buttons, or as I call them, filled square, filled circle, empty diamond. It doesn't feel amazing, obviously, but to the 1X team's credit, it feels better than I could have possibly expected. Now, let's look at the next mode. Mode 2, single screen B vertical mode. This is unhinged. I can't imagine anybody wanting to play like this. It is so flipping top heavy. and holding onto this, like what? What did I really like the shape of the Wiimote as a controller, but without the motion sensing? Why would I want this? Fortunately, 1X thought of the same thing, which is why they created dual screen A folded standing mode, mode 3. Why it's called that is beyond my comprehension, but the actual layout is obviously going to be very familiar to players of a certain mobile Nintendo handheld back in the day, with the larger top screen and smaller secondary utility screen down below. One thing that is missing compared to the older consoles that shall remain nameless is any ability to angle either the screens, but hey, they more than make up for it, maybe, with dual screen B top-bottom display. Oh yeah, and I can move my D-pad over here, should I so desire, which I very much do. Yeah, I think this is why people are buying this, right? But also, this one seems pretty reasonable. I think with that in mind, they probably could have just made this a D-pad. Oh wait, no, they couldn't have. Yep. That, in fact, was why the D-pad had to be optional, because these are the two main modes that you're likely to use. I wonder if these could have just been magnetically attachable to an interface on the side then. Oh, hey, speaking of the side, why don't we take a look at the I/O? Over on the right of the main screen, you're gonna find a micro SD card. Here's some tape. Did we put this on? Weird. Anywho, power button, and not a whole lot else. Just a little spot for the magnet that holds the controllers into place, either here or here. Over on the other side, we've got our volume wheel. Yep, that's a volume wheel, all right. And where the devil is our USB-C port? Oh! There it is right there on the... Is it the bottom? Ugh. Is it the top? It's somewhere. It's there. On the back, we've got what appears to be a ventilation fan, as well as, are these speaker grills? They must be. How does it know left and right? Ah, see, that's the thing. If you were expecting this to be an x86 PC-based device, you are unfortunately going to be sorely disappointed. Well, I shouldn't say sorely disappointed. While it does use a Qualcomm platform, so it runs Android, it uses the Snapdragon G3 Gen 3, which is based on TSMC's 4-nanometer process node and should be a fairly potent mobile gaming solution. And with the way that Android emulators have improved over the last little while, I mean, even Switch emulation is getting pretty good now, isn't it? There's a lot of options. Of course, the one that you guys probably care about the most is going to be... Where are we? Oh yeah, our sponsor. No, I was kidding. That wasn't what you cared about. You cared about Drastic. Now, my understanding is there's a bit of a process for getting DS games running on this thing, so one moment, please. According to Reese, who set this up, getting this whole process to be as simple as it is now took so long that he literally doesn't remember how he did it and never wants to do it again. But if you follow the steps, which maybe we could link a guide down below. No. What? You literally have no idea how you did it?
I had to fumble my way through.
Oh my God. Okay, well, anyway, we've got it set up so you can press the heart button, go to fusion. Okay, we're close. We're close now. Then we just need to go to this one and do that. Whoa, DS emulation, buddy! Oh, I didn't even notice. The R1, R2, and R2, L2 buttons back here. Not the most conveniently positioned that I've ever felt, but very usable. Hey, sorry, I forgot to mention the case. The case actually feels really nice. It's like a faux leather, hard case. Like, this is one of the finest included cases I've ever seen. Good job, 1X. So these are actually two buttons down here each, right? So heart brings up 1X's little menu here so we can fine tune the performance. Apparently they've got a dual heat pipe cooler in here, so it should stay nice and cool regardless of what you're doing. As for battery life, that is a bit of a sore spot for the community so far. It does have like a lower power to the secondary screen mode, and you can apparently, according to 1X, get like 7 hours of battery life out of it, but you won't get that if you're running the whole thing at full bore. It's got a 5600 milliamp hour battery. It's still kind of top heavy, hey boys? Especially if you're used to the ergonomics of a Nintendo DS, which admittedly already aren't great, but at least are not as heavy on the top. Oh, it's touchscreen. I guess I didn't really mention that. And these are both OLED displays boasting 450 nits peak brightness, so that should be fine. Mario Kart DS, let's go! Oh, really heavy. It's like frickin' heavy. And this really is a lot of moving parts. Probably gonna be a little rusty, have not touched this game in many a year. I know, that's what they all say, right? Whoops! What did I press? No! How did I hit that? I hit the whole track! Oh my God! Just don't include any of this gameplay. This is horrible. This is the worst thing ever. Oh! Okay, what did I do to switch the screens there? That was horrible. There. Okay. It's fixed. You know what? Screw it. I give up. Let's try a different emulator. Mario Kart Double Dash it is. Hello? Oh, right. I guess we won't need the two screens anymore. So we'll just do this. Okay. Even though this is obviously substantially more difficult to run, I gotta say, not bad. These mobile chips have really come a long way. Yeah, these shoulders are not great, especially when you're like kind of reaching in here to get these instead of having your thumb across them. You kind of have to press this one like that. Where are the speakers on this boy? I think they're here, right? Oh yeah, there we go. Okay, so what am I looking at back here? Hold on, where'd my... Oh wow. My volume wheel goes inside the device. Okay. I mean, at least one of them has to be an exhaust, but I pretty much can't hear anything. Oh, 1X is very proud of their material choices, by the way. They use an aluminum unibody frame. Internally, the outside is plastic, and then they're using what they call SK7 special steel for the hinge because it excels in applications requiring high hardness and wear resistance. It has a built-in gyro, if you like gyroscopic aiming. Oh boy, I appear to have closed my software. Hey, speaking of software, I mean, this is just Android, right? So theoretically, I could run Android games. Cool, we're gonna listen to Genshin Impact and Crab Rave at the same time. Oh, well, that's right, Genshin doesn't actually support controllers, does it? It does? Oh, well. Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, I just have to make my focus display this, nope. Okay, apparently Genshin does support controllers now on Android. And has for a little while. And we did get it working before, but is really, really, really annoying. So they clearly have some work to do on the software side. Of course, this is a prototype device as well, so bear that in mind, but I can only show you guys what I have in my hands, and what I have in my hands is an imperfect menu and controller binding experience. There is one more thing. It supports bypass charging, so you shouldn't wear out your battery as much if you're plugged in while you're using it for long periods. Is this a second volume rocker? Oh, it has, what about second volume rocker? So there's a wheel here and a volume rocker here. Hey, I just noticed something that's missing though. There's no headphone jack. Speaking of being plugged in and gaming for long hours at a time. Bluetooth only. Oh, really? On a device this big? I guess I kind of see it because it's got so many hinges and moving parts everywhere, but I feel like this would have been a good spot, or like right here next to the charging port. But who knows? Maybe that would have cost extra, and Lord only knows, the last thing we needed was for this device to be more expensive. The Indiegogo Early Bird price is $599 USD with 16 gigs of RAM and 512 gigs of storage, and the retail is expected to be, is this right? $799, $800 US dollars. A truly unique device for folks who want to play DS games but cannot afford a Nintendo DS. But can't afford this. You guys know who you are. And you know you need to subscribe to Short Circuit.